For the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culture PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in the games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future conversations, you can. Check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation podcast. If you are listening on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. No, in the Twitch chat has jumped in and says, we come for the quality, then you are being incorrectly sold the show, because that is not the case. As Max yawns directly into his microphone. Thank you, Discord Noisegate. Max, yeah. I know we start every episode with, I'm really tired, because we are tired, and it's a Sunday night. And
it's Sunday nights, man. Like, although in saying that, hopefully I will not be tired next Sunday night, because I'm hoping,
long weekend, crossed,
that I have a fucking 4-day weekend.
Oh man, Dead Queen weekend.
But the issue is, where I work, they only do national holidays, and Friday is just a state holiday. So I have a feeling that I'm going to get Thursday off, but going to have to work Friday. Lame. But I'm gonna like talk to the boss and be like, well, if they're not in Thursday anyway, can I just work Thursday? It's still a public holiday. You'd have to pay me public holiday rates anyway. But then I also get a long weekend. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's
I'm hoping they're just gonna turn around and be like, look, it's just a super long weekend for everyone. Fuck it.
They're like, yeah, look, you make me like, I'm not gonna work Thursday, right? And then I'm gonna go in Friday and clean like shit that hasn't been touched in 2 days, like. You can feel free to pay me, but
it'll be Wednesday's stuff that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Essentially on Friday. But can I just do it Thursday?
Look, if no one's going to be in there from Thursday through to Sunday, so the stuff I have to clean on Wednesday is still going to be there Sunday, I'll just clean it on Sunday night before everyone comes in on Monday. Done.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
It sounds like a lot of math, and I don't know how well the pitch will go with math, but
yeah.
But yeah,
we're just, and then in saying that, come Sunday night, I'll be like dead.
Yeah, you'll be tired. Because what will happen is you'll take advantage of a long weekend, but I'm just going to chaos, play games, stay up late, go gallivanting around. You don't do that.
No.
No.
Not always.
Not always.
Sometimes. No. Sometimes.
But yeah, I did some gallivanting this weekend, as I tend to do. It was another wrestling show here in Geelong, which was awesome.
Gallivant 10 minutes down the road.
Yeah, I gallivanted 10 minutes down the road and did a wrestling show, which was tons of fun. Max didn't go. You bastard.
Yeah, I kind of...
I also forgot to invite you and get your ticket.
Yeah, I forgot it was on. And then I'm like, the wrestling's on in Geelong. I'm surprised Ryan hasn't like forced me to come. Or like, you know...
It's one of those things. I chose my battle.
It's like, hey, man, do you want to come over? I've got this super cool thing to check out. And then, like, chloroform. I'm in the back of the car. All of a sudden, I'm in the ring. I'm a weapon.
And oh, then, my God. Fans as a weapon. That would be it. That'd be a fun show. But, yeah.
I'm just covered in thumbtacks.
They just wrap you in Lego just to become an incredibly dangerous weapon. But, yeah, no, it was good local show. So, it was nice and easy. Didn't have to do a lot of driving. Didn't have to stay up late. Tons of fun. But I started up staying late because after every Geelong show, we come back to my house and just sort of hang out and then have fun rather than having to sort of hike as most people tend to do. But, you had an intense sort of week? Because I'm trying to think of my week. I can think of my weekend. My week is just work. And then apparently there was a state of play in there that I totally forgot about. So until I opened the news doc today, I went, oh, yeah.
Basically, nothing happened till Friday. And then just like so much shit hit the fan Friday that I've had to deal with all weekend.
Like what? House things?
Yeah, house stuff, rent stuff. So, just, I'm so angry at the real estate agency. Like, I'm just going to have a quick rant. They sent me an email at 2 o'clock Friday afternoon to renew my lease, and they've given me till midday Monday. And they're not contactable over the weekend because their office isn't open. So I'm just like, cool, how am I supposed to discuss any of the terms with you? You've given me less than a business day's notice.
Unacceptable.
She's like, they're like, this offer is only valid till Monday. I'm like, well, guess what? I mean, I don't want to sign a 2-year lease anyway, but...
Well, you're not going to because you won't be in the house for 2 months.
So, yeah. But other than that, you know, my week's been pretty... My week was great up until Friday morning when I woke up.
Up until that exact moment, everything was pretty sweet.
I literally woke up at midday Friday and I had like... The people that I thought were coming to fix the electrical works just weren't doing it at all. And no one told me. And then, yeah, I got this rent stuff. I got an $18,000 bill for the house that I wasn't supposed to get. And then I got all this other crap that I had to deal with. And then I remembered that my mortgage payment came out that day. And then Vic Rhodes is like, hey, man, your rego is due in 2 days. I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm just like, can this just end now, please?
Just kill me. It's the only way out. Just kill me. Someone hit me with something.
Don't wish to be older. Just stay as a kid. Life's easy.
All those years we thought being an adult was going to be fun. It sucks. It sucks so hard.
Sometimes.
Yeah. But sometimes it's pretty cool when we get to sit and play games all week. That's part of it.
What about you? How's your week?
Yeah, I said my week's a whole bunch of nothing. But in terms of like, yeah, being an adult means we get to buy our games, play our games, and fucking make YouTube channels about them. So, and podcasts. So that's pretty fun. So let's get into section calling what we've been playing. I forgot what's actually been, what's that, the session thing's actually called. It's been brain. Yeah. Max, playing games. I, today, played some Rock Band 4, because I keep falling back to play some drums, and I spent an unnecessary amount of time just trying to get 100% on pro drums for one song, and I don't know why. I was like, I'm going to fucking get this, and I don't think I got it. I think I just gave up, but I missed one note, and I was like, a couple of runs of missing just one note, I'm like, I'm going to fucking scream. I'm going to scream, but I kept trying. I'm going to go back a little bit later. Probably when I'm done here, I'm going to give it a try because, you know, the benefit of living in a house and, you know, with space around me is that I can have it jacked and, you know, my neighbors can't hear shit apparently, which is really, really good. Seeing as I know my neighbor and I've been like, hey, do you guys ever like hear me? And they're like, no. I'm like, sick. So I might do that after this. But I also played some Red Dead Redemption 2. Still trying to work through that backlog, unlike Max, who hasn't touched it.
But that's not totally true.
I
touched some backlog games this week.
Oh, shit. Well, other than that, I've been playing a stack of Weedcraft Inc. So it's a game that we got a code for like fucking yonks ago. I've been playing it on PC because that's where it is. And I remember when I got the email about it, it's like, hey, there's this game called Weedcraft Inc. It's essentially a tycoon game, but for weed. And like you create this underground business. It's very like Breaking Bad, but with weed, and it's fucking dumb. I'm like, this looks stupid. So I played it and I loved it. It hit all like the same like, yeah, tycoon farming sim parts of my brain, but also because it was the novelty of like not being like a Sim City or something. It was kind of, it was a bit fun. And then today I was looking through Keymailer, which is a website that media and content creators can use to request keys for games. And I found out it's coming to consoles in like 2 weeks. I'm like, yay! Trophies. So yeah, other than that, what else did I play this week? I played some Paw Patrol Mighty Pups with my son on the PS5 version because for some reason they felt obligated to upgrade that game to PS5. But for some reason, the PS5 version uses the British voice dub and it sounds horrible compared to the Canadian/American version. So the second we booted up, James goes, this game's broken. I'm like, nice, different voice actors. Like, sounds weird. I don't like it. Like, I agree. I don't like it either. But what else have I played? Might be it. Played some Miles Morales again. And seeing as I've been playing on the new TV, hashtag my TV, that game looks fucking mint. I was playing in the performance RT mode. Oh. There you go. There's my weekly I'm in love with my TV. So, Max, have you been touching your backlog? Personal question.
Yeah, so I'll kick off with the smaller games that I've been playing. So I dove back into Valhalla for a little while.
Oh yeah?
It's still a fucking colossal behemoth of a game. But yeah, I think I might need a few more years of a few more years.
Look, as I said, you don't have to 100%. Like, you don't have to 100% it. The rule is you just got to finish the main quest line.
Yeah. So we'll get there eventually. Next up, thanks to Tokyo Game Show, I tried out the
Valkyrie. Sorry, Ange, my friend, and also sometimes housemate, just goes, Bethan smells. It's true. I am in the same house, and he can probably smell me, so checks out.
Tried out Valkyrie Elysium demo.
Oh, yeah?
That launched during Tokyo Game Show. So this is one of those third-person action combat-style games. You get to play essentially the tutorial level and then the first level. It's just one of those great hack and slash, multiple mobs of enemies just coming at you, and you kind of just clear a room, progress to the next one, clear the room, progress to the next one.
The only downside with it, its name is so generic that I thought the game had already came out.
Yeah, well, I thought it didn't come out until November, but apparently that's just the PC version. Apparently console edition comes out in like a week's time.
Oh.
Well, yeah, the other thing that came out of Tokyo Game Show that I've been playing, which no put in the chat before, was Fallen Dynasty. Fallen Dynasty, yeah. So that's the new game out from Team Ninja.
Ooh.
That's coming out very soon from memory. Possibly. Could be completely wrong. It's basically Neo set in...
a place.
Yeah. It's
Neo, not, or Neo it, was set in Japan, so I assume it's not Japan.
No.
Australia?
No.
Finland?
So it's less So Neo was basically, you were fighting essentially yokai, so like demonic, Japanese demonic spirits. There doesn't seem to be any of that here. There is still some, you know, mythical creatures and stuff. Like, you know, you yourself can now cast spells. You still have those spirits like you did in Neo. So you can summon big spirits as like a big special attack. But it's very much plays exactly the same as what Neo did. I've enjoyed it so far. It's a fairly short demo. I haven't finished the first level yet. I keep getting to some form of mini boss that just wrecks my shop. I haven't quite. That
sounds like every time I try to play Neo. Yeah,
I haven't quite nailed the timing on like the dodging and parrying, which is obviously a big part of those games. It seems a little bit more spammy. Like the action is very fast paced. It feels like you have a lot more stamina to play around with as opposed to out of like Dark Souls and Elden Ring, stuff like that. So it can be a little bit more forgiving because you can kind of just spam dodge your way out of most things, but the finesse needed to get those perfect parries seems a little bit harder, which is fine. It just takes some time to get used to. But the big game that I've been playing for most of this week is NBA
2K23. Yeah, so this was funny. So Max or I are neither of us are basketball people. Neither of us really sports people, to be honest. And then I get this message from Max being like, what's the chance of us getting an NBA code? I'm like, I don't fucking know. I've never asked for one. Like, luckily we're not to brag, but like, it's not a brag, but it seems like a break. But like, we're pretty friendly with the people at 2K here in Australia. So I was like, hey, like, look, we've never played a basketball game in our fucking lives. We just want to step out of our comfort zone. We want to try something different. And sure enough, the team were very kind and were like, hey, here's a copy of NBA. Not just any, he's the Michael Jordan edition. So Max got the fucking special treatment. He got like the top shelf VIP treatment from 2K. So huge thank you to them. But yeah,
massive.
Take that from aside. Turns out you're loving it.
Yeah, I'm loving it. I've played it almost every night this week for a couple of hours.
So what got in your mind to play basketball game?
Okay, so I've always been a kind of on and off basketball game guy.
Okay.
But the extent of my knowledge or playtime has generally just been the, you pick a team, I pick a team, we play.
Okay.
And, like, that's it. I've never, you know, done the career mode or played the online version where you buy the little cards and do it that way. So... as soon as I jumped into NBA 2K23, I'm like, I'm going to do my career. And it's like, hey, make your character, Or you can download the app on your phone, you can scan your face in, and you can play as yourself. I'm like, I like to play with myself, so granted, I pulled my phone out and went, oh, I remember how this
you
worked.
You're lucky I wasn't drinking, Jesus Christ.
And then I scanned my face, and then for some reason the scanning kind of fucked up because I didn't do it properly, so it looks like I've got mumps.
Yeah, you sent me this photo of this person who's looking incredibly dour with like the chonkiest cheeks you've ever seen in your life. And I'm like are you well?
One is significantly larger than the other
it
one
is,
as well.
It is bad.
It's great.
I might put it up on the socials because it's pretty funny.
So once I did that, you make the rest of your characters. You know, you pick your age, your height, or your hometown, all that stuff.
Where are you from? Where are you based out of?
Cannot be smaller than 6'3", which I found a little upsetting.
Look, as someone that's 5'10", I can understand that, but you're not 5'10". You're even shorter.
Yeah, so what that you, was what, fine. What I'm like the... I don't know. Short.
Like 5'7".
Not 6'3", anyway. Yeah. Not 6'3".
So, and the nose would have to be like, oh, man, it's really not my height.
And then you kind of, you know, once you've picked your, like, aesthetic, you get to kind of essentially roll your stats out. So I've decided to be a short guy who's, like, really good at three-point shots. So, like, I can't dunk. I can barely shoot from inside the key. Can't block for shit. Basically put all available points into three-pointers, and I just sink threes for days. It's great. I love it. And then, so at the start of my career, you walk around, you meet your agent, and then you start off with your, essentially, it's the your college game with the talent scouts are at. And depending on how well you go, you can kind of pick which team you want to go to. So I'm a wizard.
Hey, okay. Wizard. Nice.
Cool. And then there's kind of, so once you get...
Did you pick them intentionally, or that was one of the ones that got offered to?
No, I picked them intentionally. It was awesome. Nice. And then you kind of do this thing where you get thrown into like this weird open world space that's kind of like the town. So you can go...
Well, that was managers. One of the big selling points of this year's career mode. Yeah. So you
walk around the manager's office, and then you go to like the... you go to press conferences elsewhere, and you go and meet like the organization president out of your team, and you can go do training and work on your stats, or you can go to the obviously the arena itself to play out your games. Now, when you first get picked, they're like you kind of crap. Like no matter how good enough
to be in the NBA, but you're crap.
Like no matter how well you played the first game, they were kind of like, look, you're mediocre at best, so you're never actually playing a full game of basketball to begin with, because you get subbed off. Now, you can either watch or you can just fast forward the simulation and just so you're just constantly playing. And it feels like every time I get ahead and then I get taken off and I sim my way through to the next bit, I somehow just lose. It just goes straight down. It's very disheartening sometimes. But as what I'm about to believe came into a lot of the more previous NBA games, when you start missing shots, your character starts downing himself, and you're on a fucking cold streak, and it just gets harder and harder to.
Why the hell
score.
Would a game bring anxiety into it? That's unfair.
The opposite also works. Like. The bigger hot streak you're on, the easier it is to hit those perfect shots.
Actually, I think MLB has something similar, yeah.
And then there's like in-game, like mid-game quests. So like if, for instance, one of the ones that I picked is essentially, I think it's called like Shot Maker or something like that. And if I make 5 long-range shots, the percentage chance of me actually getting those shots in just fucking skyrockets. So at one point, I was hitting like just 3s for days. But the second you miss one, that cold streak starts kicking in, and then it's horrendous. And obviously when you play in the My Career mode, it gives you a score, like a letter ranking of how well you played. So it'll cover you like your shots made, defenses, defensive plays, passing. Because when you play in the career mode, you only control yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you make a bad passing call, as in like, hey, I want the ball, pass it to me, I'm open, and you're not open, that's a markdown. So that's really fun. I've been playing a fair bit of that. The other cool mode that they've put in is the It's the like the greatest hits of Michael Jordan's career.
Oh, okay.
And you play little snippets of his career where you've got to hit certain
milestones,
objectives, milestones throughout the game. So one of the first ones is in his early career. It's you're behind by X amount of goals. You have to score 15 points in the next points, and you have to score X amount of points within like this short time frame, and it's
you want proof that we don't play basketball.
It's intense.
Yeah.
Some of the other modes, they've got a like an era mode where you can play old school NBA teams, which is cool.
Yeah. Do they put like the CRT effect over on the screen and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
And then obviously you've got your standard 3v3, 5v5 pickup play game modes. I haven't tried out online yet because I'm just absolutely garbage at the game. And playing online just wouldn't be fun for me. And then there's obviously I think it's called My Team, which is similar to the FIFA version where you open the card packs and
your Ultimate team.
When you create your team using the cards, which is cool in theory. But as I have no idea what any of these players are, having not been like an avid NBA follower for a while, all I have to go on is the number in the top corner. It's like, oh, that number's bigger than that one, so I assume he's better. There's none of this like
once the stats get broken down further, you're like, I got nothing.
Yeah, but I'm having as a person who tends to not like religiously buy these games every year, I'm having an absolute blast with this one.
I was going to say, like, because it's been a while since I've heard you be this enthusiastic and happy about playing it. Like, granted, we're happy to play games all the time, but, like, it's you have a different energy explaining this game, which is tons of fun.
It's been an absolute blast.
Because there's a couple of things that you've picked that very similar to the enjoyment that I get out of baseball. Like, I don't watch it a lot anymore, but, like, I really enjoy playing the games. So I would make myself, and compared to you and your difficulty making character, I nailed me personally in MLB. Why? Because baseball is anything but like average height, stocky, fat dudes. Like, so it was so easy to make me, like unquestionably easy to make me. But there's a lot of the similar stuff, the similar beats that I guess come with sport games. Like you've mentioned, the showcase mode or the Michael Jordan showcase mode, which they also replicate in WWE. So they've just done with 2K22, they did the Rey Mysterio. So you play some of the greatest matches of Rey Mysterio's career. And with that, you have to hit certain wins or losses or moves or all these certain things to match the thing. But I'm glad you're having such a good time.
I'm loving it.
So, because one of the things that this game is notoriously shat on for is its microtransactions. Are you feeling it?
Yeah. So, granted, because we were lucky enough to be provided a code for the Michael Jordan edition, I got a lot of free of the My Team packs. Oh. I got a ton of free in-game currency.
Yep.
Which, to be honest, I haven't dove deep into the shop to have a look around, but it's not like I'm getting constant pop-ups being like, hey, want to do this. So when you first boot up the game, it does have one of those like ticker tape news pop-ups where it's like, there's this, and this that you can do. And it's a simple, just hit circle and you close it. And then you're pretty much in the game. There doesn't seem to be too many. The microtransactions in this game don't seem to be as intrusive as they have previously been in earlier years.
But once again, that's on the understanding that we have had an added advantage with the particular bundle.
2K22, I think that was the one that had fairly prominent popping up constantly. They had the casino loot spin wheel, I think as well. I haven't, again, because I tend to steer clear of those game modes, I haven't dove into them too much at the moment. Like I've opened my team packs, and I kind of left it at that. I played one game of it. It was a 3-on-3 match, and that was it. I haven't gone back since. I'm mainly playing the My Career mode. And it's just hilarious looking at I look so angry. Like my character model just looks so angry. So every time he sits up for his like post game press conference, he just looks mad at everybody.
He's like, look, I've got mumps, and I still one have tick to play.
Like, and then, like, he's a puffer fish on one side of his face.
Why didn't you go in and fuck with the sliders? Go correct it.
I don't know. I honestly didn't actually look at the sliders after I had scanned my face.
Okay.
I wonder if the sliders are still there. Because I think what happened was it takes like a certain amount of photos, and you're supposed to...
like a slow pan, like a panoramic almost.
But because I'm an idiot, I sat here and just spun in the chair and just left the phone in one place and spun my face instead of spinning the phone. So it's probably like jacked some of the photos up. Which is hilarious because I just left it as it was. It's just funny.
It makes it if it makes it more entertaining for you to do that and then to play the game with like your jacked up face, then sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
But other than that, I haven't really been playing much. Just I dive into Destiny every once in a while. I'm still playing Rocket League every once in a while. But yeah, the big one for this week was NBA.
It is fun. Like, this is the added advantage of what we do is that we do have little moments where we can sort of step out of it, you know, try something a little bit different, which is always a blast, because not normally are we given that opportunity to do so. Pardon me. So the idea of like, because example, we did get offered two codes for NBA, and I went, hey, can you, I'm like, okay, bank that second one, exchange it. PGA comes out in a couple weeks. Can I swap it for that? And they went, yeah, sure, no worries. I was like, yes, because like I had such a blast at last PGA. Game. Oh,
yeah, I did love a good golf game.
Oh man, I can't wait at all. But I'm glad. I'm very glad that you're having a good time with the basketball.
Loving it.
Yeah, and I enjoyed jumping back into Red Dead, so I think that might be in that motivation, because I was kind of going through In Sound Mind, haven't given that a good run, and I should go back to that too. But yeah, this week's just been busy. Oh my god, I've hit a tidewall.
And I played Death Store for like 20 minutes while I was waiting for you when you said you'd be on shortly.
You sure about that? Because Discord says that you're playing Power Wash Simulator.
Nah, that's a lot of crap. I died, and then I went, no, I'm going to go pay. I power washed for like 10 minutes as well.
Good on you. Nice. All right, that's enough of what we've been playing. Let's get in the section called Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Now, as I mentioned at the start of the show, I totally forgot that there was a State of Play this week. So we'll kick things off with that. It was a surprise announcement. It was like, hey, tomorrow, this is happening.
Yeah.
I remember being like, oh, what? Oh, it's 8 o'clock. Sick. I can watch it before I go to work.
I'll let you take this.
Did you watch it live?
I was asleep.
Dude, like the last three years even, not just the last 3 weeks, I have been the sole contributor. I've been like, blah, just ranting up a fucking storm.
I know.
I'm happy to, like, I'll take the lead. I'm more than happy to, because yeah, so I watched Saturday Play Live. You didn't. Did you watch it in full or did you watch it in its parts?
I watched it in full afterwards.
Oh, yeah, nice. Beautiful. So, all right. So we have pulled all the announcements. There was 10 games and two side things. So essentially a dozen things that were shown off. The list that we'll be reading them out are not in appearance order, except for the first one, which is nailed it. Tekken 8. So Tekken 8 was announced with the gameplay trailer showing off its use of the Unreal Engine 5. No release date other than, like, it's coming. There was a great little transition of chains and the chains break and it becomes the 8. That was tight. It was Jin versus...
Kazuya,
thank you. Couldn't remember. I was going to say Yoshimitsu, but that was... that's the alien. It looked mint. It looked hot. That game looks so good.
Yeah, it looks fucking right.
It looks fantastic.
I'm super keen. Tekken's always been I kind of fell off Tekken after Tekken 4. But this looks great. Being on a new engine, I would imagine that all the assets aren't rolling over. They're going to start completely fresh, and it just looks great.
Yeah, so one of the great advantages of fighting games is because they are relative, like they're mechanically very complicated, but because it's only ever within a small space, it's always the two characters, like visually it can look amazing. And with using the Unreal Engine 5, we're seeing a lot of intense particle effects, we're seeing a lot of smooth motion, a lot of really zoomed in Mortal Kombat-esque and there's like
punch. I love in the those face. Little kind of slow motion.
Yeah, sometimes little Mortal Kombat-esque moments. Yeah.
Cinematic things that they were popping in and out of. I wonder if that's
I hope it's not standard, because that would get really annoying like every match, but at least initially it would be pretty cool. So look, similar to yourself, since Tekken 3, Tekken has been like pretty much the only fighting game I've ever really cared about. Like, I was in a little, I was interested in Injustice because I like DC Comics, obviously, but that was about it. Street Fighter's never been for me. The whole straight 2D fighter that is Street Fighter, nah, but the 3D-esque sort of mixed 2D, 3D of Tekken has always been the big winner for me. So I'm very, very excited for Tekken 8. I'm very keen to spend some time with it whenever it does drop. One that would get you nice and moist in the front area, Max, was Rise of the Ronin. So it's a second-party agreement. So it's a console exclusive, at least. It is an 1863 Japanese-themed action game. It's aiming for the 2024 release and, as I just mentioned, PS5 console exclusive. This game is being described as, quote, an immersive combat-focused action experience. Now, from memory, this is from Team Ninja.
It is.
And I was like, oh, shit, is this Nioh 3? And then they had, like, an eagle fly across the screen. I'm like, is this Assassin's Creed now? Like, what the fuck is this? And it got a whole bunch of confusion of what it was. And then
it's Ghosts of Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, So this is actually a very good point. And I was this was got brought up in another podcast I was listening to today, and I think it's a very good. I hadn't considered it until they mentioned it. This is a second party exclusive, right? So it's not going. It's coming to console, PlayStation, no Xbox. Presumably, Ghost of Tsushima 2 is right around the corner. In a couple, like a year, 2 years, maybe two, three, really. Isn't this kind of eating at the same, like, thing? The same genre, the same space that is Ghost of Tsushima? Isn't that a risk?
I think so.
Does that mean there is no Ghost of Tsushima 2? Or is it just doubling down on these weebs with samurai fantasies?
Weebs with swords.
As a weeb who likes swords, Max, do you...
I mean, the game looked stunning. It showed really well, but yeah, that was the first thing that came to my mind was the. It's like it's hard not to compare something to something we've already seen before.
Yep.
And yeah, it was like, is this some kind of Ghost of Tsushima esque style of game? Coming from Team Ninja, the combat's probably going to be a little bit more difficult than what.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Just going based on the history of their releases. I'm still intrigued by it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if this is kind of a stopgap to let the guys work on Ghost of Tsushima 2 longer.
Because, like, admittedly, with this being...
Because that'd be really awkward if they both came out in this, like, within a couple of months.
That's
of
each other, like, it certainly wouldn't be a couple of months. Probably within a couple of years of each other. But it's just like, okay, well, you better be... If there... It's not going to have people left wanting as much. Like, we have Ghost of Tsushima. We're itching for Ghost of Tsushima 2. And then they're like, oh, but you can play Rise of the Ronin in the interim. Like, but then suddenly you're less interested in Ghost of Tsushima 2 because what if the combat in Rise of the Ronin is better and, like, the story of Ghost of Tsushima is better, but it plays better. Like, there's a couple of different factors that are a massive risk there. But we should also mention, like, there is quite a heavy Japanese-centered theme within this state of play, as it did happen during Tokyo Game Show. So hence why not everything will land with me specifically, but a lot of it will land with you. Next up was, once again, not in release order. Another thing was Like a Dragon Ishin, which is a Yakuza game, which apparently the...
They're getting rid of the Yakuza title.
They are, yeah. So the Yakuza is the name that's been given in the West, but it has always been referred to as Like a Dragon in Japan. So very similar to, I guess, how Resident Evil 7 was Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, which is Biohazard is what Resident Evil is called in Japan. With Yakuza Like a Dragon, they did the exact same thing. So now, in order to remove a lot of the negative stigma that comes with the name of Yakuza, they're going to be shifting towards Like a Dragon. So it's always sort of universally named across the globe, which is great. So this one, I looked at it, I was like, this looks like kind of like Yakuza. And then the combat, I'm like, this is Yakuza. But unlike regular Yakuza, it's set in feudal Japan. So it's the same level of chaotic combat, like beat 'em up sort of style, but with that old-timey Japan setting. It looks mad. Now, it should also be known this was originally released back in 2014 on the PS4 in Japan, but it's finally being translated and ported over to the West and will be coming in February 2023.
I don't know if it's I forgot to write it down. One of the, because a ton of, because obviously they had a conference near Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, Sega had one. They used to Yakuza 8 too.
And they had Like a Dragon 8.
Sorry, Like a Dragon 8. It's like
Prince, apparently Prince one of those. Apparently one of those titles that are coming to the West will not be dubbed.
Well, like as no in the chat just says, and they've made a point subs only.
Yeah.
Mad.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I play.
Look, saying that anyway. Though, we'll get to the game later on. The second I heard the voice acting, I just cringed internally and I died. We'll get to that. But like, look, dubs over subs ain't always good when the Japanese is discussing. Next up, another game was Pacific Drive. So it is a quote run-based first-person driving survival game. It's set in a mysterious North American region that's doing its best to kill you. On your side is a car and your wits. It's coming to PS5 in 2023. So essentially the idea is that, you have to like
a roguelite.
Yeah, look kind of roguelite, but in like a first person.
You can kind of like upgrade your garage and your car and all that fun
stuff. Yeah, so the blog post does drop a bunch of information, and essentially the idea of is that, you have the central hub, which is this garage, and you go out and you get your stuff, and then you come back, you upgrade, you go out again. So it does have that, sounds like it's got that sort of roguelite element. Having it be first person is going to be difficult, I think, from a control aspect, because...
you not play card games in first person?
No. No, because that's how motion sickness happens.
But that's how you drive.
Yeah. But why would I... If I want to drive like I do in real life, I'll drive in real life.
But Max, you don't drive in a car game like you drive in real life. You deliberately, drive faster.
Yeah.
Matter if you hit people.
Yeah, but, I don't drive with my head and only in one position. I move my head around. You can't do that easily in a car game, my friend. So all it does is lock me into wanting to vom across my lounge room. So behind the car is the best way to go. But it looked interesting. There's a good pitch to it, post-apocalyptic sort of fun idea. It's pretty gnarly. It to its credit, it's incredibly innovative. I'm yet to hear of a first-person driving survival game ever, which is awesome. Like when I saw the name and it was Pacific Drive, I was like, oh. Because my brain keeps remembering this really cool independent game made in here in Melbourne. It's been in the last 17 PAXs. It's called Dead Static Drive. I was like, oh man, is Dead Static Drive coming out and had a complete redesign? Hence why it's taken so long for it to come out. Nah, it's a similar name. This is the one. I think this is the one that made me mad. It may have been. So, you may remember a game called Project Eve that was announced a couple of different State of Plays ago. It's now got a name. It's called Stellar Blade, which is a dumb name. Project Eve is a way better name. But it's a flashy Korean game, first announced back in 2021's PlayStation Showcase, and has now been renamed. There's official story trailer. Now, mind you, I took no idea what the story was. All I remember was the cool, head chain enemies. And then there was some girl who sounded like she was in some sort of Japanese porno. That real sort of high-pitched, real submissive anime woman voice. And it made me want to vomit. Because, why does every JRPG or Asian-based video game or content require the women to sound like that? It is disgusting. And I've just turned off a lot of people in our audience, but I know that voice turns you on, so that's a problem. Just fucking starting fights everywhere. I can't do it. Like, I hear that and it takes me out of the game almost instantly. I'm like, I will never even consider playing this. It's bad. Did it do it for you? Yeah, I'm sure.
Of course it did. That gameplay looked fucking great. Granted, I must admit I didn't have sound going. So I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah.
But it looks great. I mean, I liked the look of it back when it was Project Eve, it was first conceived.
The enemy, the enemy design and stuff looks... Remember, we did the showcase thing. Well, the enemy design looked really, really cool. In the same way that JRPG that you played with had the plant enemies?
Scarlet Nexus.
Scarlet Nexus looked mad. And then it's it's really Japanese. It's oh, okay, I'm not so interested anymore. The enemy designs can only do so much. But what was interesting, so having, even though it was a very Japanese-themed showcase, there were some things that weren't within that space. One of them being Hogwarts Legacy. So they showed off what was the previously announced PlayStation 5 exclusive mission. It's something to do with Hogsmeade, like Hogsmeade Manor or Hogsmeade House or something.
Yeah, I think someone's selling a haunted shop.
Yeah, so what it's interesting about it is, if you didn't know it was Harry Potter, you'd be like, what the fuck is this game? Because it looks nothing like... It's almost like every trailer that Hogwarts has done is a different game, and I like it. I'm so in. I'm not even mad. And like, it was one of those things, because like, I remember I was discussing with someone the other day, and they're like, hey, do you think that the PS5... you know, DLC will swing people to play on PS5. I'm like, well, no. Like, most circumstances, any sort of exclusive DLC missions are always inconsequential. Because if they were of consequence, then it would be a massive disruption to the game. And how would everyone else play? That goes, oh, here's this next mission in the story is just, you don't have it. So the story becomes incoherent. It has to be supplementary. It has to be complete. Nothing in the overall story of the game. And it wouldn't surprise me. They're like, hey, it comes with a new... It's a new mission. It's got a new spell. And yeah, I'm like, I guarantee you that spell is only connected to this mission. So if you were to take it out in isolation, you wouldn't even notice. And I kind of feel this is exactly the case. Because even like Avengers, they're like, it's Spider-Man's exclusive to PlayStation. It's inconsequential. You take him out, it's the fucking same game. Like, there's no actual detriment or improvement to the game by having him in it. Well, and I guarantee you this mission's the same.
I had a discussion around this last night, and it wasn't on the exclusive content, like exclusive missions. It was the fact that you can pay an extra $20 for 2 days early access.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just...
A single player game.
Yeah,
weird.
Yeah. And we'll tell that to Call of Duty in their week early... fucking campaign.
That one where you pay money to get early access to the open beta.
I mean,
it's not open, dude.
No, you get early access to the beta. The open beta starts tonight as time of recording.
Oh, shit. It might be
3 a.m.
Oh.
Runs for 2 days.
So I'll push the download.
Anyway, go back to what I said. I'm like, if a game's readily available, why not just fucking release it 2 days earlier?
Yeah, because you can't make $20 then.
Still charge your premium price of fucking $110 to release it 2 days earlier.
Yeah. It's what makes money.
I know, but
and it's look, fucking- you know, people need to like, you know, choke out as much money from the people as you can. It makes sense. Next up, there was a PSV.
Things that chokes out money from people.
Yeah, speaking of things that choke out money, Star Wars. Remember the things you loved and how they just get destroyed? This may not be it. This looks awesome. there was a PSVR 2 section, as PSVR 2 was for the first time hands-on playable at Tokyo Game Show. We'll talk about that shortly. But they showed off Star Wars Tales from the Galaxy Edge Enhanced Edition. So this game has previously been available. It released in 2020 for Meta, I believe. What was Oculus at the time. But this, however, is an updated version of the game for the current generation and is scheduled to come in 2023. So it's very likely going to be a launch game for the PSVR 2 when it drops in presumably March and or April. That's kind of the what we think it is at the moment. This looked sick. After playing Darth Vader Immortal Vader Immortal, which was awesome. This looks to be like that, but jacked up with like a much bigger story. And I'm in.
Isn't it based on like the literal ride from
Final? Yeah, based on Galaxy's Edge out of Disney World, yeah. Cool. I ain't mad.
This next one had me...
This one got me a little bit damp in the front area. So Demeo is another PSVR 2 title coming in 2023. It is essentially a tabletop role-playing game in VR. Well, it's not essentially, it is.
I mean, it's been out for a while.
Yeah.
It's available on, I think, everything.
Yeah.
It's coming to PSVR 2.
Like, it's got that sort of similar, that rec room sort of floating head with hands, or, you know, kind of like werewolves within, I guess. sort of, so it is is based on that multiplayer experience. So you get to roll dice, you get to sort of have fun with it, and you get all the, you know, your visuals of your little minis, because they are designed little minis, but they become animated when you make them do stuff. So for those of you that want to play a role-playing game and really have that extra benefit of that VR experience, you know, say, you know, if you've got people across the world and you can't, you know, we can play a TRPG online, but this is a kind of cooler way to do it. And it looked dope. I'll probably play it. Even though I have the opportunity to play TRPGs every day for my day job, but I don't. So apparently it's only in VR. I could play it in real reality, but virtual reality, that might make me play tabletop. This one, Sin Duality. So Bandai Namco. Oh, no, I think this was the one that I had the woman that I don't like in it. Could be both. Sin Duality is a Bandai Namco game. It is a mech-based third-person shooter and is coming to PS5. The game will have PvPvE elements when playing online, meaning you get to just shoot AI people as well as other players, which should be fun. Also coming in 2023.
It looked cool until I realized that I was just a mech miner. I'm just like, eh.
Yeah. It did.
Just smashing crystals in my mech suit.
I was watching it, like, I was watching it and commenting out loud like I was on a stream because I'm an idiot. I was like, oh, this is like No Man's Sky. Being a mech. No mech sky. Mm.
No mech ski.
And of course, one of the other things they showed off was they had a woman, Grace Chen, come out and talk about PS Stars or PlayStation Stars. As previously discussed, like months ago now, it is a free new loyalty program from PlayStation and will see you completing various quests and activities in exchange for rewards, which will include digital collectibles. Quote,
Not NFTs.
These are totally fungible. Quote, once you've earned collectibles, you can arrange them in a virtual display case within the PS app. And if you choose, you may display your collection case within your PSN profile to friends. There will be different ways to acquire or earn collectibles. The primary way will be through completing campaigns. End quote. So they showed off a couple of things. There was an Ape Escape one. There was an Astrobot, I think. And then there was, that big head that was one of the promo things for, what's his name? Oh, it escapes me. It was one of the big marketing things for the PS1. No, it's gone. It's completely gone. But, hey, for life of me, it's gone. I can't remember what he was called. But it's just interesting because they talked about this whole program without talking about the program. Showed off some things without really showing off anything. Like, there's still no clear way of how you earn these things. There's no clear understanding of, like, does that mean, is it tied to games that you own? So if you happen to not own the game, are you jacked up? Is it PS Plus stuff? Like, or is it connected to, you know, as Puck in the chat says, is this a new version of PlayStation Home? Because, like, you can show it in your app. No one looks at the app for social things, right? So, yeah, you have this display case in your app, but why? You can make it part of your PSN profile, but why? Like, trophies are so integrated within the system. I imagine when trophies were first announced, if everyone was like, but why? So, unless there's a way on the dashboard of my PS5, like, there's a little app, and I open it, and it's my digital display case, yeah, that would be pretty sweet. But I kind of don't think that's where they're going. And if it's locked behind games that you have to pay money for, suddenly it's not as fun.
So apparently, quote, a campaign may be a point earning or collectible earning activity. One of our first campaigns is the Hit Play 1994, where members who correctly launch games that match song-based clues will receive a special collectible. More campaign details to come. So what happens if you don't own a game?
You're suddenly choked out.
Are you just shit out of luck?
Yeah, like, are these campaigns open in perpetuity or are they timed? So then suddenly I'm like, well, you need to buy Ape Escape 2. I'm like, it's on PS Plus, but that's fine.
Great game.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's like, if it's on PS Plus, then sure. Like, if this is a great way to actually incentivize people to play some of the games on the PS Plus collection, And this is some sneaky marketing tool to get people to buy up to your deluxe or premium. Smart.
So it's launching in Japan this month and will launch in America and Europe at a later date.
Yes, yeah, so we'll fall within the Europe, so we'll be in later dates. But I don't know. I'm excited by it, but mostly because I like little trinkety shit, and especially it's PlayStation. But they also showed like the PlayStation little PS1 little Tamagotchi thing they had. That was tons of, always wanted that, but never got it. Yeah, so like it's cool. But the showcase itself. Wait, did you have any thoughts on PlayStation Stars, Max?
No, not any more than I've already said on it, that I think it's kind of meh. It's not for me.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
But it might be. We just don't know yet, but probably not. And finally, they did the... there's one more thing. And the rumor mill for the longest time was that, like, Konami were going to be involved. And I was like, oh, shit. Get excited. Nah, just God of War. So they showed off the God of War limited edition DualSense controller. It has this lovely like ice blue, but like a darker blue, with the touchpad showing off one of the insignias, which is the larger wolf with the younger wolf, representing God of War, which is obviously Kratos and Atreus, which is awesome, and I'll 100% be pre-ordering that when they become available on the 27th of September. Because I'm a big God of War fan. There's really no other... Like, it's just such a simple design. It's really uneventful. But, sure. Why not? You're not going to get one, Max.
No. I already have 3 DualSense controllers. I do not need another one.
Yeah, I've got a white, a black, and a purple.
I've got a white, a sky blue, and... Actually, Ethan still has my 3rd controller.
Then we also saw another story trailer, which legitimately made me cry again. Because yeah, it's just.
Surprised you watched that. I thought you were going on blackout.
I didn't know it was going to be there, did I? I was expecting because they're like it's a Japanese themed thing, and all the rumor mills were like Konami. I'm like, this is where Silent Hill comes out. Mate, let's go.
Sure,
but I cried because it looks awesome. It's hitting all those beats that exactly what I wanted, which is more of that continuation of that father son narrative. I'm putting it out there. It's hinting that this may, like, with this being the end of all things, it's very likely that Kratos may die. And they're kind of hinting at it in this trailer. I ain't mad about it. Like, we get to see, like, Thor and Kratos, like, go axe versus hammer. We get to see the Nordic God of War. We see that woman whose name escapes me again right now because it's 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. Freya. She's looking all jacked up and sad, which is cool. Well, not really. But she's, you know. Then we get to see the two dogs, the two wolves, sorry. The one, you know, the chase, the sun and the moon. Awesome. So the great shot of Atreus, you know, shooting an arrow into the sun. One of the wolves chase it, and that's what. And then like the sky, like literally transitions from day to night. It looks so good. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. I am so unquestionably hyped for this game. Like, you got no idea. With my little Thor hammer. So good. So good. What do you think of State of Play overall?
Everything looked great.
It did.
Actually, everything really did look good. Strong showing, I think. After the last the previous few set of plays have kind of been pretty mellow. I think this was a really good showing. Made sense that God of War was there so close to its release date in November. I wonder if we're going to get one of those deep dive set of plays on it before it launches.
Probably in late October, I reckon.
But yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's one of those ones. Like, I knew going in that they wouldn't all land for me, knowing as they're quite Japanese themed. However, everything still felt cool, as in outside of God of War and Hogwarts. But like, I mean, everything was new, right?
Yeah.
And that's a win. Like, seeing as the last couple of showcases or state of place have been here's updates on games you already knew about. Because at the time, no one was in a position to really show new information.
And it was just awesome just not getting another Deathloop.
Well, yeah, no, because they did that over at, you know, they announced, like, a couple days later, they showed off a Deathloop trailer for coming to Game Pass. But with that, like, aside from the, I said Hogwarts, but it's a new trailer for PlayStation-specific stuff. So it's not a repeat of the trailers we've seen before. God of War, this is the first real story trailer that they've shown. So it's,
yeah, for sure.
So we're not seeing, we are seeing new stuff. So it's not a rehash of old content. So from a trailer perspective, from a full showcase perspective, we saw a lot of new stuff that's really exciting. And for those that are interested in this specific stuff, thumbs up to you. You're about to shit your pants. But I do feel that God of War is an odd example to have at the end here. I do feel that it was something else was meant to be there and may not have been ready to go. And there has been some talk about that. And I from my position of not knowing anything, I would entirely agree that something else should have been there. And it probably not Silent Hill, but that's what I would hope. It's what I've wanted. And it didn't happen.
Let's talk some PSVR 2.
Yeah, brother.
So PSVR 2 will not include any backwards compatibility support with PlayStation VR titles, meaning that games cannot be played on the new virtual reality headset. Sony has confirmed this. So speaking in the latest episode of the official PlayStation podcast, Senior Vice President of Platform Experience, Hideaki Nishino, says that this is because, quote, PSVR 2 is designed to deliver a truly next-generation VR experience, citing new features like the Sense controllers and the inside-out tracking. When all of these features are put together, quote, this means developing games for PSVR 2 requires a whole different approach to the original PSVR. With backwards compatibility now off the table, the only way for PSVR classics like Astrobot and Beat Saber to become playable over on PSVR 2 would be through updated versions or entirely new SKUs, which I hope is going to happen in the case of Beat Saber, because I would prefer the PC version over...
So this is something that we discussed a little while ago, because we're like, well, how would it translate? Because those other games, they are built on the idea of reading the lights on those wands. You can't just simply go, well, don't look for the lights. Because, like, there's different sensory information that comes from the sense controllers.
But that's only applicable to games that use the wand. I feel that a game that just uses the DualSense controller, the DualShock controller, but I guess that's just following the fucking light on the back of that controller anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. Because that's sense the controller, it followed the light on the controller. So it's the whole thing. So it's very likely that any sort of the real prominent PSVR games, we will see some sort of next-gen port. So maybe like Moss, Firewall potentially, but knowing that there's Firewall Ultra coming out, it's very unlikely. The Walking Dead games that always sell, at the Arizona Sunshine, which always sells, Job Sim, you know, they'll probably get a bit of love. Vacation Sim, stuff like that. Are there another big main selling point PSVR games you think will come across?
Not off the top of my head that you haven't already listed.
Yeah.
Look,
this doesn't surprise me. Once again, looking at the technology and seeing that such a literal generational leap, in theory, obviously not experiencing the controllers firsthand, all I hope is that it is somewhat playable at PAX Australia, seeing it was in Gamescom, at Tokyo Game Show. All I hope is that it's here in Australia. I've already reached out my feelers to see if anything happens, I can kiss hands and shake some babies and like schmooze my way in. but we know, friend of the show, Kieran, friend on Twitter, I don't know if he's friend of the show, but he's friend on Twitter, Kieran Verbuge, over at Press Start. He did go over to Press Start and got some hands on. And one of the big questions Gamescom again? Fuck.
He went to Press Start. He went to Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, he was already at Press Start. He already worked there. And then they went to Tokyo Game Show. So they put out on Twitter, like, hey, what's some questions? And I was like, glasses. What are glasses? Not what are glasses, because that would have been... They could have told me like then and there. They didn't have to go to Tokyo to do that. But yeah, so I was like, glasses. PSVR 1 was pretty good with glasses. How is it here? Apparently it's piss. It's like piss. It's very comfortable. Big win. Mm. Big win for me. Because like I hate super, I'm really blind without my glasses. And I can't play PSVR without them. So that's exciting. But apparently, like, the whole one cable stuff's really good. It looks sharp. It plays good. It feels intuitive. It kind of ticks all these boxes. And Like right now, I'm just saving money because I should be saving money. I might have to rebrand that saving money to with a texter PSVR 2 because that's just going to be expensive and I want it. Did all this stuff get you moist for some PSVR 2, Max?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Very much so.
Yeah. And knowing this is one cable.
Yeah.
Like my PSVR is still in the box over there from when I moved into this house. And a couple of times I've gone, maybe I should pull it out. And then I go, well, no, it's a lot of cables. And it's like, and then I have to sit in a specific spot of my lounge room because you got to use the camera. Where with PSVR 2, not using a camera, win. Such a win. Next up. Because apparently we can't stop talking about this. I'm sick of it. And as Max put it, I've got 69 billion problems and COD is a big one. that's really good. Well done. Recently, the UK regulator had stated its concerns about fair competition if the deal were to go through for the Activision Blizzard King purchase by Microsoft, which prompted Xbox's Phil Spencer to reiterate the Call of Duty will remain multi-platform for the foreseeable future. Sony took issue with this, saying the agreements that agreement about this was inadequate. As reported by GamesIndustry.biz, regulators in the UK and EU will now further scrutinize Microsoft plans as the firm never responded. So part of this was that they're like, hey, you have 5 business days or I think it's 10 business days or something like that to get back to us with evidence to claim to state that you that what you're saying, like this purchase would not breach these things. Microsoft essentially opted to not, and I think they made a statement essentially along the lines of, no, whatever we gave you would be inadequate in their eyes. Like, so essentially claiming a bias. So, of course, they're now going to get heavily scrutinized. Now, there's two reasons for this. Either it's... Oh, here we go. So then Microsoft followed up with a comment saying that about the acquisition also to GamesIndustry.biz, and it said, quote, it makes zero business sense for Microsoft to remove Call of Duty from PlayStation given its market-leading console position. Now, I'm going to reiterate my point here is, will people decide a fucking side of the fence here? Microsoft have talked on both sides. We're making an exclusive, but we're not, but we are. But we're not, but we are. We've extended the deal, but is this a marketing deal? Why would you have a marketing deal with PlayStation when you're now owning an Xbox? It makes no fucking sense. So like, it has to have a deal on your platform. Look, the kindness of our hearts, we're extending it. We're probably gonna make exclusive afterwards. And then Sony like, why? We need this fucking game. Exclusives are really bad. Then you look forward and you realize that like, there are 17 Square Enix games that are coming exclusively to fucking PlayStation next year. None of them are coming to Xbox. But so PlayStation's like, exclusives are bad, but they're not bad. But this one is, this specifically is bad. But these ones, don't ignore these ones. Everyone's fucking fucked. And like, I still strongly disagree with the whole merger and acquisitions. And I hope this falls through. Good. Because I still don't think that this is the path that needs to happen. With that in mind, I said, you look at those tea leaves. I just said, Square Enix, a bunch of exclusive games. The tea leaves say PlayStation may pick up Square Enix soon. It's been rumored for a while if it happens.
I mean, the one good thing that would come out of the merger is hopefully a lot of the upper management of like ABK just like gets fucked off.
Yeah, no doubt that.
Because there's some issues in there.
Yeah, anyway. Those issues there regardless. The thing for me is like, because the entire argument about this entire thing, it's not about just general console exclusivity. Sorry, general brand exclusivity. It's just Call of Duty. So it's like, what happens if this governing body is like, what about that? What about Crash Bandicoot Spyro? The person's like, oh, I don't give a fuck about them. No, you do whatever you want. Call of Duty though, yeah, Call of Duty is a bit of a stink for. What about Diablo 4? That's coming soon. Yeah, I don't fucking care. Overwatch 2? Yeah, whatever. Call of Duty, though. No. But it is one of the three. Like, Call of Duty in their worst year is one of the best games released that year. Like, from a numbers perspective. Yeah. So, I can understand their heat. Do you have anything more to say, or is it the same shit, different day?
Nah, same shit, different day.
Gross.
All right, let's kick things off with day one of Tokyo Game Show.
Oh, my God, this show is going to be so long.
I've bullet pointed them all.
So Reverend Puck in the chat, who did jump in earlier, and I felt to point out, jumps in and goes, look, Overwatch 2 doesn't even want to be Overwatch 2.
Overwatch, yeah.
And I did see the mullet come in before as well.
So we'll skip the Xbox showcase that was actually kicked off. I'll just like not bother at all. But we'll kick things off with Capcom.
Yeah.
So Resident Evil. Capcom is bringing back some Resident Evil Classic and its newly introduced Resident Evil Village Gold Edition, launching 28th of October, which will come with the Winter's Expansion DLC, including in that is three massive features: Shadows of the Rose, a new story exploring the side of Ethan's daughter; Mercenaries Additional Orders, a mode featuring new content characters; and finally, a third-person mode for the entire game. So you can play over-the-shoulder
Mad
Village.
Village.
Next up we had Exo Primal. That's their third person shooter dino hunter thingamabob. They showed off a story trailer. It still looks cool. I kind of like it. It looks rad. I like the idea of like these exo suits with dinos.
Hey, look,
the dinos are not in exo suits. We are.
Oh, hopefully. That'd be way more fun.
I don't want like fucking Iron Dinosaur coming in and wrecking my shop. Next up, we had Mega Man taking a trip down memory lane with Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection. We'll introduce all 10 games from the franchise. We'll be coming to PlayStation 4 in 2023.
Damn!
So if you've got a big old hard on for Mega Man, all 10 games in one disc.
That is huge.
Just kiss. And lastly, Street Fighter VI. The game will feature a World Tour Fighting Ground and Battle Hub mode and will be available in 2023 on PS4 and 5.
Now, look, admittedly, Street Fighter, I said don't care because Tekken.
It does real look good,
it
though.
It does look good, but like Tekken. Mega Man, yeah. I've never played a Mega Man game in my life. So I would genuinely be tempted to pick this up, mostly because I'm like, oh, well, if I enjoy it, I got all of them. And if I don't, well, then I spent a lot of money unnecessarily. But the real answer here is the Resi. I have such a hard-on for Resident Evil since Resident Evil 7. I am just damp. Now, we did receive a review code for Village, and I don't know whether it was the Gold or Standard Edition. So I'm a little bit... I kind of feel on the edge to go check my console right now. If not, I'll just buy the expansion pass. I don't give a shit, because I got to play this. This looks so good. So good. Oh. I don't really want to play it in third person, but I kind of do, because it was actually after them playing 7 and then remake for 2 remake, it looks so schmick in third person, and I think the game might be a bit more fun in a third person as well. So actually, you know what? Fuck it. I'm probably gonna replay it.
Day 2 kicked off.
Anything apart from Exo Primal?
I mean, obviously the DLC for Village is gonna be rad. It'll be nice to see how they wrap that story up. Mega Man's cool. Like,
well, totally I don't think they're wrapping that story up. I think this is a second part of a trilogy, and we talked about that in the review. Like the entire thematic, like the entire story beats of.
Do you reckon this DLC will kick off what will be become the third game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So day 2, we kick things off with Konami. They spoke about their 4 fucking Yu-Gi-Oh games that all have shit going on. Most of them are on mobile. One of them's on PlayStation 4 and 5. Cool. The big thing that everyone was like, oh, it's going to be Silent Hill, it's going to be Silent Hill. No, it's Suikoden. 1 and 2 will return in 2023 as HD remasters. The games will be on PlayStation.
I've never played Suikoden. I've heard good things.
I've heard good things too. I've also never played it. Now, next up, we had Sega. Sonic is coming very, very soon on the 8th of November.
Yeah.
They showed Sonic things. So
my
cool.
My son's like Sonic because he just likes things that go fast. So Sonic makes sense. And he's like, there's a new Sonic game coming out. I'm like, yeah, there is. It's coming out near my birthday, so I'm not buying it.
Then we had 505 Games. And they announced a bunch of stuff coming to kind of everything. So there was Assetto Corsa, Yudin Chronicles, Rogue Spirit, Unholy, Unheard Voices of Crime, Stray Blade, and Miasma Chronicles all coming to a PlayStation console at some point next year. Assetto Corsa is at the end of this month, however. Everything else is next year.
A lot of these ones are more in your wheelhouse. Did these get you damp?
I didn't watch any of these live. I didn't catch any of these, unfortunately, from 505.
Yeah, so knowing intentionally, that's probably not going to excite me.
My understanding of Yuiden Chronicles is it's that 2.5D... stuff similar to like a lot of the stuff that we saw over at the Nindie Direct on Nintendo Direct the other night with like Octopath Traveler 2 and and all those old school turn-based JRPGs in that 2.5D graphic palette. They all look great. Yep. I don't know how they do it. And then there was day 3, but I didn't cover what happened today because it was still running.
Yeah, but yeah. And we'll have more to talk about that probably next week, so
I think Square Enix had their thing today. So from what I've heard, not much Final Fantasy 16 stuff was.
I think there was a couple Crisis Core things.
I think, yeah, so Final Fantasy Crisis Core, before Crisis Reunion or whatever the hell they're calling it, yeah. It's coming out later in December. I think there was like, they've got like 30 billion games coming out at some point that all seem to be like the same game.
Yeah. What's great for you?
Because like Biofield Chronicles comes out in like a couple of days. There's like Harvestella, which is their like RPG farming sim.
Look, I know this is. Look.
Oh, I mean, yeah, these are. I think most of these are bloody. I think Harvestella is a Switch game, but.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. This is the thing. All right, so State of Play. But before the State of Play, there was a Nintendo Direct. Now, granted, this is not a Nintendo show, it's a PlayStation show. Turns out it was built exclusively for me because it was just farming games and farming games and farming games. And then Zelda, I suppose. And then farming games. And then Story of Seasons. And then another farming game. I was like, and like, I am just like rock hard. And then I saw Zelda and then I got instantly flaccid. But, because Breath of the Wild is a 7 out of 10.
So you're not going to be partaking in the Tears of the Kingdom?
No.
Did you just say it was fucking 7 out of 10?
Yeah.
You're insane.
No, the game is good. Don't get me wrong. But it's not a 10 out of 10. It's not as good as everyone says it is.
I wouldn't say it's a 10 out of 10, but I'd definitely give it more than a bloody 7.
No. I meant 8. 7, 8 maybe. 7. I'll give it 7.5. I'm sorry. Weapon degradation is the shittest thing that you could ever put in a game. It fucking sucks. That game, I'm like, oh, cool. There is so much unnecessary empty space in that game. It's just empty space till you find a little dungeon. Those dungeons... dungeons, fighting, mate. Fucking mad. Dungeons are brilliant. Those big boss, like the four war beasts or whatever the fuck they were called, awesome. So cool. So the way it uses physics, awesome. The climbing stuff, brilliant.
So realistically, it sounds like the only issue you had was the open space and the weapons being destroyed.
Yeah, hence why it's a 7 out of 10. Point. Yeah, because I have no, I failed to connect with the story.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because it was so open that it meant nothing. And I obviously don't have a strong connection to Zelda, but to me, it doesn't feel like a Zelda game because I have an idea in my head of what a Zelda game should be, and this ain't it. Like, Link's Awakening, when that remaster came out, I'm like, that looks like Zelda. That looks awesome. I want to play the shit out of that. And I'm also a little bit biased that everyone's like, it's the Breath of the Wild clone. Like, get the fuck out of here. That game isn't that innovative. Calm down. Speaking of games that are not really that innovative, GTA 6. So, at like hours before we started recording today, a bunch of alleged GTA 6 videos dropped.
Not a bunch, fucking 90.
90 videos were linked on the GTA forums by a poster named T-Pot-Tuba Hacker. And the videos...
T-Pot-Tuba Hacker.
Yeah, whatever. and these videos very much appear to be real. Now, granted, these are very much alpha footage. In that,
oh, yeah, they're super
in that it looks janky. There's a lot of the dev information, like frames, and then you see a lot of the directions and all the... like, it kind of run almost like running code along the screen. Now, granted, as we sit here as it is time of recording, it is very likely that at some point within the time of this going recording to going up, it gets disproved instantly, right? But... before they get DMCA'd. I did watch, I don't know, like 10 of these, 15 of these. And a lot of them were just like, here's a car crashing. Here's someone holding up a cafe.
There is a strip club. Someone's collated them into 2 YouTube videos. It lasts about 40 minutes each.
Yeah.
As opposed to having to click through all the individual stuff, you can watch the the two separate videos.
Yeah. So but if you can, like, go download them because it's probably worth having, just in for coolness. But there were some... So they were gleaning through the footage as, say, they spotted references to GTA Vice City, which breaks up rumors from earlier this year claiming that GTA 6 will be set in Miami. The leak also corroborates suggestions of the game will feature a female protagonist, which we do see. She's involved. Alongside other playable characters in a story influenced by the bank robbers, Bonnie and Clyde. And as Max said, the leak makes up roughly 52 minutes of footage. Look, a couple of things. I was literally playing Red Dead Redemption 2 as this dropped. And as I was playing, I'm like, man, this control, like this game is this amazing, but it handles like ass sometimes. And I was watching these videos of Red Dead. I'm like, this looks like it handles like ass. Now, granted, it's alpha footage or whatever, and it's all dev, and there's, you know, collisions and all these different things that very clearly are being worked out, because you can see the code trying to suss out what it's doing as you play. But look, it looks like, but it kind of looks like nothing. And this is, I say this in that Vice City looked like a certain time, right? It looked like 80s America, or at least the stylized film version of 80s America. San Andreas had the energy of the 90s film America. Not a lot has changed in terms of the time at which GTA 5 was set until now. We as a society, as a culture, from a pop culture influence space, isn't that drastically different. It just looks like more GTA 5 to me. Now, granted, once again, this is small clips, really out of any context. I'd have to wait and see. I'm being judgmental of like just random ass footage that may just end up being a mod. I don't know. I'm curious, but I also knowing that this could be, I'm like excited but skeptical, because knowing that it could be pulled out from under me at any second. What about you, Max?
I haven't watched any of it yet.
What the fuck are you doing?
I was writing this fucking news doc. Good call. I didn't have time. Good call.
And no, Ghost, will they have weapon degradation? Suddenly GTA 6, 6 out of 10.
Ammo.
Yeah. Ammo. Yeah. Nah, suddenly you have to clean. Like, well, they did it in Red Dead. You have to clean your gun and look after it and apply gun oil. I'm like,
quick biddies are super quick this week. We have one. Because, it's a fucking long running sheet. Earlier this week, PlayStation announced over on their Twitter that Hollow Knight Silksong will in fact be coming to the platform.
Hey!
No other details were given.
Why, I ain't mad about that. Hollow Knight was sick. Australian developers, Team Cherry. Oh, if we're lucky, could we be at PAX?
Maybe.
Cause I remember playing Hollow Knight like way before release at PAX when it was on the indie area. I'm like, this game is visually stunning. It kicked my ass, but it was fucking lovely. And then I played it when it came out. I'm like, this game is still visually lovely. And then it kicked my ass. Upcoming titles, Max. Games that are releasing this week. Get excited, because I know you were just playing some Power Wash Simulator. Well, guess what? Now that you've done Power Washing, why don't you build something?
I put the same thing in twice.
In Construction Simulator, PS5, PS4, September 20th. Hard Space Shipbreaker, coming to PS5, September 20th. Solstice, coming to PS5, September 20th. Jacques Move, PS4, September 20th. Potion Permit, September 22. Session, cool skateboarding game, PS5, PS4, September 22nd. I'll put a review code for that one because I'm playing the fuck out of that. Spider Heck, my apologies, PS5, PS4, September 22nd. The Dio Field Chronicle, PS5 and PS4 on September 22nd. And Sable, September 23rd on the PS5. I guess Session's the only really one for me.
I feel look good.
What's that?
Diafield looks good.
Yeah.
It's one of the many Square Enix games that'll come out in the next 20 weeks.
It's true. There's a lot of games coming out soon.
There's so many Square games coming out. It's ridiculous.
But what a busy week.
Oh, man. It's been flat out.
And it's very interesting. Like, it's a busy week, but like until we kind of put it in this list, I was like, because like, we're talking about it in the little group chat that we have. And I was like, I feel so out of the loop. Like, I'm not paying active attention to what's being released, even though it's happening in a kind of relative time to Australia. It's not in the middle of the night like previously. I was like, oh, they're happening in real time. But I still just couldn't get moist about it. I just couldn't. And then, but now in context, I'm like, oh, a couple of these things are pretty sick, pretty sweet. All right.
I think the other, the big news, which was, which is kind of sad, happened over at TGS.
Queen died?
Pardon?
Queen died?
No, that was last week. No,
she's still dead. The BBC keep reminding us she's still dead.
A crap load of people lost their jobs from Fanbyte.
Yeah, and G4. Online.
Yeah, because Tencent are garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, look, once again, if you have to seek external investment to keep your business afloat, they then suddenly have a lot of power and can dictate what you can and can't do. And that is not a good idea. And Fanbyte, historically, have been interesting in terms of the tone at which they choose to deliver their articles. Now, it sucks anyone loses their job. That's balls, period. That sucks. Same as G4. Like, it's an interesting decision to even bring G4 back. It really felt like something from a different time that's not really relevant anymore. And I think the fact that it's been unsuccessful or hasn't even launched yet, from, I'm not sure, it makes sense why they laid off people. But, yeah. No, he's ripping a part of me on that weapon degradation shit, because I suppose you don't clean or feed your horse. I feed my horse, but very rarely. And when I want to clean him,
eats it a bullet and then respawns it.
Yeah. No, if I want to clean it, I just ride through all the rivers and stuff that are nearby. Why don't I sit there and brush my damn horse?
I don't think that's how it works.
Oh. The Reverend Puck said, maybe don't launch a network for 200 people onto streaming when you can only finance for a fraction of it. Sorry, G4. That's right. Like, I feel they dug their own grave there. Because especially, it's an old, outdated business model. And it doesn't work now in the content creation space and an influencer-based space. Like IGN, GameSpot, et cetera, they're anomalies. Because they were the biggest, they are continuing to survive. And you cannot replicate that anymore. You can't. Because the industry at large has changed. Speaking of the industry at large has changed, it's time for you to change. Listen to something else. So Max, send this home.
Well, everybody, this PlayStation Conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepropculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation podcast. If you are listening on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you're watching us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com shop. We can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was for the players. I don't really have anything funny to say in the end here. Yeah, I got nothing.